Today, households crushed by bills as housing costs explode in 2026. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This post today is the second in a series. Yesterday, I made a post which was an update on our scenarios for 2026 and included a lot of data supporting the modelling that we've done around home price movements and broader things such as economic growth and even the expectations from households. Tomorrow, I'll be joined on my live show at 8 p.m. Sydney with Edwin Almeida. Edwin, of course, being our property insider. And he and I will discuss the 2026 property trends. And you're welcome to come on the show and ask a question live or post a question in the comments beforehand. This is where we bring all of the threads together and also get from Edwin his views as to what may be happening next year. But today I want to cover the latest from our models relating to the stress modeling that we do. This is based on our surveys. And the short summary is that despite all the hype, despite the MIFO waffle, the truth is that many households are being crushed by bills already, and this is likely to continue into 2026 because the costs of accommodation, whether it's mortgage or whether it's rent, continues to rise for many. And of course, everything else is also rising. Inflation is still, of course, there. And the point I want to make is that whilst the rate of inflation may have come down a little, the cumulative effect over the last 4 or 5 years is that the costs for ordinary Australians are way, way higher than they were, and incomes have just not kept up. Plus, of course, the other point here is the tax take is higher than ever. So you have to put that in the round. And I want to make the point here that a lot of the analysis that's done with regard to housing affordability, quote unquote, actually doesn't take account of households' real financial position. They look at gross income or maybe net income and make a comparison with house prices. And they say, yes, it's gone off the scale badly. But that is understating the true situation. Why? Because you have to look at money in and money out, which is precisely what I do in my modelling. So that's what we're going to look at today. And this is an important update because, of course, it takes account of all the latest information from our surveys. Our surveys ran up to just before Christmas. We don't run over Christmas, but we'll start again early in the new year. And so this is the latest information with regard to what's going on with households. And I want to make the point, a lot of the information contained elsewhere is heavily lagged. For example, the HILDA data, which is often quoted by the Reserve Bank, is 2 to 3 years behind reality. And even some of the other surveys that are done with 1,000 people in the surveys are so small that they don't necessarily cover the full picture. But we, of course, have a totally different approach. We have a rolling sample, and that sample comprises of 52,000 households at any one point in time. We drop the oldest off, we add more in as we go. So that's a 0.5% sample, and that is probably the best sample of anybody who's reporting regularly on household finances. But of course, a lot of people don't want to find these answers because, well, it's an inconvenient truth. Now, just for an update, this is the way the model works. So we capture information from our consumer surveys and also other industry information sources too. We put it all into the core market model, and that means that the information then can be sliced and diced, as I've shown on several occasions. We can look at it by types of property. We can look at it by types of location and even our master segmentation. In fact, the master segmentation is pretty useful to understand how different groups are actually behaving. So we can slice and dice it, multiple dimensions, think of it like a Rubik's Cube. The other thing about our modelling is that we can look at the scenarios, and again, I want to refer to what I did yesterday when I went through the 2026 scenarios, and overlay those so that to combined, we can take our information, look at the mortgage stress information, the price trajectory, the buying and selling intentions, the migration data, the economic data, things like the CPI, wages, employment, and then put it through the core market model and our scenarios. And that gives us then the view of what may happen with regard to house scenarios. And that is down to the postcode level, but we can roll it up to state, region, and all Australia level. And yesterday, I went through, of course, the state assessment over the next 3 years, each state and each territory, looking at the scenarios for the best case and worst case, and also looking at for units as well as houses. So check that show if you want to get into more detail. Now, before I go on, I will just remind you, we do provide a one-to-one service. If you're interested in a particular area, a particular suburb, and you want an individual conversation with me about that suburb or postcode, we can do that. It's not specific advice about financial matters. I can't give that, but it is advice or analysis from my data down at the postcode level, and we can look at the underlying trends. We can look at stress data, the home price data, and also form a view of where prices may go based on our modelling. That takes about an hour for a conversation via Zoom or phone. And there is a cost involved simply because it takes me a good number of hours to do all the research. And I also touch base with people on the ground to get the local information as well. So there is a cost involved, but nevertheless, we do have a number of people interested in this. And if you'd like to join the queue, we are booking 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment because we've got so much interest. But if you'd like more information about that, go to the blog and there you can contact me. Now let's talk about stress, because I get really upset with some of the waffle that's going on about mortgage stress in particular. There are many different definitions out there. For example, 30% of income, or is it taxable income? Some use 30% of gross income, some use 30% of taxable income. But those 30% calculations are the same as was used two decades ago. And that's a really important point, because if you go back two decades, the average mortgage was around 3 times annual income. So there was a sort of logic to say around 30%. But of course, since then, the average multiple is 6 or 7 or 8 times. Incomes, of course, have changed. And also the tax take has changed as well. So I'm afraid that those who still stick to this 30% of income or taxable income as a definition of stress is way out of date. I'll make another point that for many people, they can quite happily cope with 40% or 50% of their income going on their mortgage if they've got a bigger income. But for households who are more constrained with regard to incomes, 30% is probably already in difficulty. In fact, 25% could well be stressed. So we take a completely different view. So we define stress in cash flow terms, money in, money out. And that's an important differentiation from our work. Now, if households have more outgoings, including one-off discretionary items and income, we define them as stressed. If they have a mortgage, they're in mortgage stress. If they're renting, then they've got rental stress. We also look at property investors too, because many property investors have cash flow pressures too. And so we can identify those as stressed investors. And that means we can aggregate the data to total financial stress down to the postcode level. So whether you've got a mortgage, whether you've got rentals or investment, we can put them all together. And that means that we can get a total read, and we can express it both as a percentage of households and also a count. Now, whilst the percentage of households is interesting, the count is probably more significant, because by the law of big numbers, those areas with large numbers will tend to be areas where, for example, property prices might be on the decline. So we do express the information in both terms, but the latter is best. Now, the RBA a couple of years ago issued this little chart, which is actually quite useful because it highlights the fact that the intensity of financial stress varies from mild through to severe. At the mild end, it's about budget pressures. Via missing payments, you could actually go to insolvency later. That journey can take 3 to 5 years often. We measure stress at the mild end, at budget pressure end, at cash flow end. And I'll make the point that not necessarily everybody with budget pressures ends up missing payments or going insolvent. In fact, insolvencies are quite low at the moment, partly because the banks, of course, have helped people as they get into difficulty. And also the fact that budget pressures have become a way of life for many people, so that they can sort of manage them, but It means they're skating very close to the edge. And the point about budget pressures is it becomes intractable. You rob Peter to pay Paul. You put debts on one credit card and move it to another credit card. But ultimately, that merry-go-round can sometimes fall apart, whether that's from illness, whether it's from relationship breakdown, or just time. The trouble is that if you have a perpetual cash flow deficit, ultimately you have an issue. You can refinance, of course, and many people do try to refinance and get out of jail for a short period of time. But, and here's the critical point, unless households change their behavior, they get back into this doom loop. And I'll make the point again, real income growth has gone nowhere for many people since 2007 and 2008, especially if you're younger. If you are older, if you have a smaller mortgage or no mortgage, then, well, you don't have stress at all. So it is actually very important to understand the distribution. So with that introduction done, now let's look at the latest data. And this information here shows you the latest trend information. The first thing to highlight in yellow is mortgage stress. So mortgage stress up to the end of the year is at 50.2% of households with a mortgage. So just over half of households with a mortgage have cash flow pressures. In blue, we have the rental stress data, and that's at 74.7%. It's down very slightly, but still in December 2025, nearly three quarters of people in the rental sector have cash flow pressures. And the third line on the chart is the debt to income ratio from the RBA statistical series. Now, this was last released in September, and it came in at 176.1. Now, I want to just highlight a couple of issues about this particular data point, because what they do each quarter is to restate the last couple of years of data when they actually publish this information. And in fact, in recent times, this ratio has gone down very, very slightly. It was about 182, 183. It's come back slightly, first point. Second point, this actually includes all households, whether they've got a debt or not. So actually, it's misleading insofar that it accounts all households, and by the way, small businesses too. So this debt to income figure from the RBA, although it trajectorically is interesting, it's saying it's going sideways or slightly down, doesn't tell us much at all. In fact, if you were to focus specifically in on those with a mortgage, then you would find this ratio was about six times income. And many new mortgages are being written at six, seven, eight, or nine times, as I showed yesterday. Now let's look at the December 2025 data. Now this information is up till the end of December, and you can see here that we are breaking it down across each state. And firstly, we'll look at the percentages in yellow where they've moved up from last month. So mortgage stress rose in the ACT in New South Wales, in Queensland, in South Australia, in Western Australia, and overall across Australia, it rose too. Rental stress was up in the ACT, South Australia, Victoria, and Western Australia, but overall across the country dropped just slightly. Investor stress was only higher in Queensland. There are more property investors there now really struggling because of the price rises that we saw relatively recently, relative to the ability to put rents up. But in other states and territories, investor stress is down a little, and that allows households with property investment portfolios to feel a little better. That's really a function of low interest rates in recent times. So the cost of the mortgage came down slightly, and the fact that they are continuing to put rents up for existing tenants. And the final category, financial stress, shows that financial stress was higher in the ACT, Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, and overall at 47.4% of households. Financial stress is the aggregate of mortgage stress, rental stress, and investor stress. Now, looking in more detail, you can see that the financial stress story was actually most significantly represented overall. Now, in the ACT and Western Australia at 47.9%, plus, of course, the New South Wales at 50.7%. Victoria at 46.9% is a little down, and then Tasmania there, as well as some of the other places, are a little below that. But just looking at the total numbers, 47.4% of financial stress is more than 4.7 million households out of, let's say, the 10 million households that exist in Australia at the moment. That's a big number. And you can also see that of that, 1.5 million are in New South Wales, 1.2 million are in Victoria. If I look at mortgage stress, you can see that 50.2% of households in mortgage stress translate to 1.88 million households, of which 549,000 are in New South Wales and 532,000 are in Victoria, 326,000 are in Queensland, and 238,000 are in Western Australia. Looking at rental stress, at 74.7%, that's 2.3 million households. And again, rental stress is highest in New South Wales at 844,000, in Victoria at 522,000, in Queensland at 486,000. This has been rising very fast in recent times. In Western Australia, 205,000. And the other states there, including South Australia, for example, at 140,000. And finally, investor stress at 70.6% means about 529,000 property investors have pressures on their investment property. Of that, 196,000 are in New South Wales, 123,000 in Victoria, and 107,000 are in Queensland. Now, we can also look at it across our segments. Now, these are cohorts. These are types of household defined by particular parameters such as age or income or other definitional characteristics. Now, young growing family cohorts are at 90% in mortgage stress. And in fact, they hold the prize for being the most stressed households with a mortgage. A lot of those are first-time buyers, of course. But they're followed by the battling urban. So they're on the inner city areas of our suburban areas. And they are definitely the top. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, 136,000 battling urban compared with 292,000 young growing families. But if you want the biggest number by cohort in mortgage stress, you can look down the list there and see that it's the disadvantage fringe. These are people right on the edge of the urban area, often relatively recent first-time buyers, often buying off the plan, and they are where the income pressures are also pretty extreme. But you can see that the other cohorts, like suburban mainstream at 280,000, are also there and exposed. And you can look out into the rural areas, rural families, 128,000. And even exclusive professionals, 114,000, or young affluents, 43,000, are also represented. So mortgage stress is seen in a number of different cohorts, but it is concentrated predominantly in young growing families and those on the suburban fringe. If we turn then to rental stress, we can see there that the multicultural establishment group, which are the first generation migrants to Australia, are actually significantly impacted at 80.9%. Mature stable at 80.1% is also up there, plus stress seniors at 80.6% and young affluents at 80.2%. But the wealthy seniors are at 81%. Now that's a bit of a surprise. What it means is that those wealthy seniors, seniors who are effectively on superannuation rather than on the government pension, are actually deeply exposed now to rental stress, 180,000. That's because those people will be renting into retirement and their pension arrangements are insufficient to cover the costs of their accommodation. The other interesting observation as you look down the list is how widely spread rental stress is. So it does touch a lot of different cohorts. And you can see there that the numbers involved are quite significant. And finally, looking at financial stress, well, in aggregate terms, it is the younger and family group who are the most exposed. 500,000 young growing families in financial stress, whether they're in the mortgage sector, the rental sector, or other sectors. But you can also see that other cohorts, the battling urban, for example, as well as the disadvantaged fringe, and the young affluents are also there. The multicultural establishment, the first generation Australians, are also very much represented. And it's interesting to think about how many came in last year, just over 320,000, I think, from the ABS data. Well, we've got 312,000 who are in some form of financial stress. Now, they aren't, of course, last year's entrants, but it shows you that financial stress is directly correlated to an extent with those first-generation migrants. Now, we can go on and look in more detail at the specific types of stress. So mortgage stress first, and here we look at individual postcodes and we stack rank them by the count of households in mortgage stress. And Liverpool postcode 2170 holds the prize at more than 13,165 households in this particular area. That includes Liverpool and Moorbank, Mount Pritchard, Warwick Farm. The next on the list is Campbelltown 2560 with 11,900, followed then by Toowoomba, Queensland postcode 4350 with 11,325, Roxburgh Park in Victoria 3064, Wanneroo in Western Australia 6065, Tarnet on Hoppers Crossing in Victoria 3029, Narre Warren and Fountain Gate postcode 3805, Ballarat, regional Victorian postcode, of course, 3350. Berwick and Harkaway in Victoria, 3806. Back to New South Wales, postcode 3765. Riverston, Box Hill, Nelson, Oakville, Vineyard. Then Packenham in Victoria, postcode 3810. Success in Western Australia, 6164. Merriwar in Western Australia, 6030. And then Cranbourne and Cannons Creek in Victoria, 3977. And you can see here that even down towards the bottom of the list, we've got 7,000 to 8,000 households in a particular area in difficulty. And I'm going to highlight that in some areas, we've got pretty much everybody in that area registering cash flow pressures. Now, whether it's 100% or 99% or 98%, doesn't really matter because it's plus or minus a couple of percent here. But the fact is, we have big pain in a lot of these suburbs. Now, if you look carefully, a lot of these are high growth corridor suburbs. A lot of homeland packages, a lot of new home purchases, a lot of first generation migrants all coming into those areas. And so this is a story of significant pain in these areas. Another way of looking at the same information is risk of default. Now, this is forward modeling based on my analysis. And it tries to forecast what could happen over the next 12 months in terms of how many households might risk defaulting. Now, of course, the banks will do all they can. They will extend and pretend. They will refinance. And in some cases, they will put off the inevitable. But given the fact that incomes are not really in real terms growing, this is a real problem area. And looking across the postcodes, Cranbourne, postcode 3977 has the highest risk of default at the moment, counts of 1,143. Then Mandurah in Western Australia, 6210. Now, this is because of the earlier story with regard to home prices and what happened not in the last few months, but some years ago when prices rose and mortgages grew strongly. And even now, a lot of people are still underwater. Roxburgh Park and Donnybrook in Victoria, postcode 3064 is next, followed by Hoppers Crossing and Tarnet, postcode 3029. Then Armidale in Western Australia, 6112. Again, Western Australia, this is not a new phenomenon. This is actually due to what happened some years ago, because these things take years to work through sometimes. Bundaberg in Queensland, 4670 with 579. Then Success in Western Australia at 6164. Gosford on the Central Coast in New South Wales, 2250. And then Derrimut and Point Cook in Victoria, 3030. That includes a large number of first-generation migrants. Toowoomba in Queensland, 4350, followed by Wanneroom, Western Australia. Then Congai in Queensland, 4701, followed by Coomera in Queensland, 4209, and Caboolture in postcode 4510 in Queensland. I want to highlight how much Queensland is coming up the list. I have to tell you that Queensland is looking very wobbly with regard to risk of default. Now, the percentages, of course, do vary, and it is worth highlighting that some of the higher percentages are down the list. For example, in postcode 4701, we've got 6.6% of households risking default. Doesn't mean they will, but there is high risk. Now let's look at rental stress. And the postcode with the highest count of rental stress to the end of December was Victorian, postcode 3000. Then Toowoomba, postcode 4350 with 13,871. Then Liverpool, postcode 2170. Next is Labrador and Southport, postcode 4215. Hobbs Crossing and Tarnit, postcode 3029. Campbelltown in New South Wales, 2560. Point Cook and Derrimut, postcode 3030. Coomera and Upper Coomera, Willow Vale in Queensland, 4209. Bidwell, Blackwell, Mount Druitt in New South Wales, 2770. Zetland in New South Wales, 2017. Westmead and Constitution Hill and Greystanes, postcode 2145. Gosford, 2250. Ipswich, 4305. Parramatta, 2150. And Yatala in Queensland, 4207. And I'll highlight that even down the bottom of the list there, we've got 9,000 or 8,000 households in financial pressure in the rental sector. And some, for example, in Gosford, are registering significant amounts of pressure, as well as in Campbelltown. And again, whether it's 100% or 98%, it doesn't make much difference really. From my modelling, it shows you that there are a lot of people in difficulty. Then we can look at the stressed investor story. And here, we're looking at it from the other side. This is property investors who have cash flow pressures. Westmead, 2145 is at the top of the list, followed by Bundaberg in Queensland at 4670. Wembley in Western Australia, 6014. Toowoomba in Queensland, 4350. Narromburn in New South Wales, 2065. Lavington North in Victoria, 3026. Lane Cove in New South Wales, 2066. Hornsby, 2077 in New South Wales. Surrey Hills in New South Wales, 2010. Southport in Queensland, 4215. Randwick in New South Wales, 2031. Dee in New South Wales, 2099. Little Mountain in Queensland, 4551. And Ryde in New South Wales, 2110. And I want to highlight specifically this Victorian story, Laverton North. I'm seeing more and more property investors across Victoria struggling. That's partly due to the state legislation, partly to do with the fact that property prices are easing down. Interest rates, of course, are still quite high, and the ability to put rentals up is pretty much curtailed. So there's a whole bunch of dynamics there. One of the reasons why I think property prices in Victoria are likely to take a crash over the next few years. Finally, let's aggregate the data. And overall, the postcode with the highest level of financial stress, with more than 28,000 households now exposed, is Toowoomba postcode 4350. Then we have Liverpool 2170 with 27,700 households. Campbelltown, New South Wales 2560. Tarnit in Victoria, 3029. Roxburgh Park in Victoria, 3064. Ipswich, postcode 4305 with more than 17,000 households there. Derrimut Point Cook in Victoria, 3030. Mount Druitt in New South Wales, 2770. Centre of Melbourne, 3000. Followed by Cranbourne in Victoria, 3977. Ballarat in regional Victoria, 3350. Southport in Queensland, 4215. Bellbird Park in Queensland 4300, Westmead in New South Wales 2145, and Bundaberg in Queensland 4670. So there you go. That's the summarised mortgage stress results to the end of December. And it shows that the pain is widespread. The pain is continuing. And of course, that means that many households are going to find it very difficult to navigate through the next few weeks and months. Cash flow pressures mean more people are having to work multiple jobs, more hours if they can get them. But with unemployment rising slightly, that could be a problem ahead. For those in the rental sector, we're still seeing more rent rises for many, often being imposed by the real estate agents who are working on behalf of the property investors. And it's interesting, I had a few conversations with property investors who didn't actually realise that their agents had actually put the rents up. And so there's a really interesting question as to who is actually driving the rents higher. Is it the real estate agents or is it property investors? Maybe a bit of both, but it is a very interesting and important factor. And the bottom line here is that, sure, we might get minor tax cuts over the next couple of years, according to the government, but real incomes in real terms are not rising for many people. The other point is that the expectation now, as I discussed yesterday, is that the rates will rise from this point, not fall, because the RBA is still battling with inflation, which means that there's no get out of jail card, which means that many people will continue to struggle. And as the struggle gets longer and harder, as I said earlier on, it means that more people ultimately will have to make some tough decisions. We are actually getting now some conversations with people who are deciding that they need to sell and get out. Now, the good news is that many of them will have some equity in their property because prices have been quite strong. But if in fact property prices now ease back, as it's possible it will, look at my scenarios as I discussed yesterday, then maybe those with some financial pressure may decide it is the best thing to do. But then the question is, what do you do? Where do you go? Because of course the rental sector is in grief as well. And so many people feel caught in this dilemma as to, do I stay? Do I go? Do I sell? Do I just hang on, keep paying, try and hunker down, put more on credit cards, put more on buy now, pay later, all of those things. And essentially try to get through. The trouble is, there is nothing in the forward outlook that I can see that is going to fundamentally change the trajectory of household finances. The bills are going to continue to rise. Inflation has been strong for a number of years and is still in the system. And that means that households who are expecting a magical get out of jail card to appear may be severely disappointed. Now, as I come towards the end of the show, I will just make the point, of course, we do have this information down at a granular level, and I will make a live show probably in a week or so's time where we will go through the information down at a postcode level. And if you're interested in a particular postcode, let me know and we can incorporate that in the discussion. This is, of course, information from the analysis that we do each month. It's available via Patreon program. And if you'd like to sign up via Patreon, you can get hold of this data for more than 2,000 postcodes that we calculate each month. And this gives you a very good granular read on things like mortgage stress, the disposable monthly income calculations, and even the gross investment and net investment yield in particular postcodes. In this one, Wollongong, you can see that the net investment yield is negative. So property investors are actually under some difficulty. And in fact, here we've got 29.9% of investors feeling the pinch at the moment. Now, as I come to the end of the show, I want to offer a couple of thoughts with regard to what to do. It is important, if you do have financial pressures, go talk to somebody who can really help. And the National Debt Helpline, the 1-800-007-007 phone number there, is actually a really good source. This is government backed and it is access provided here to a financial counsellor. It is a really, really good way of trying to help with debt problems, even debt solutions and particularly complex situations. What I find quite often is that people are actually a little bit desperate to know who to reach for. They know they've got financial pressures, but they can't really sort it out themselves. By the way, many people can simply by building up a cash flow picture and looking at the money in, money out, and then prioritizing and frankly, turning off some of the spending. But others, of course, are in a much more dire situation. So the Debt Helpline is one I recommend. And I caution you to use this one rather than just Google and potentially go for some of the other players who are out there who will charge fees for advice. And frankly, they're out there to make money for them rather than helping people. But the Debt Helpline is one I recommend. And interestingly, they reported recently this information, which is showing that financial counselling made a difference. 74% avoided legal action. 69% are more positive about the future. 66% resolved their financial difficulties. 63% improved their mental well-being. 53% avoid bankruptcy. And 45% improved their physical health. So the point is that debt and the management of debt and the debt obligations has impacts not just on your finances, but on your relationships and on your physical health and your mental well-being. This is why it's so important to tackle it. Don't put your head in the sand. Finally, if you need a tool to produce what's called a financial statement or a statement of financial position, the one on AFCA's site is actually really good. There you can put in a whole bunch of information about your household income, your living expenses, the property, other assets, the debts, and also how you are proposing to deal with them. This is a useful tool because it forces you to think about things, and also you can take it to your financial counsellor or indeed your financial firm if you're looking for help. Remember that banks are obligated to assist, especially if you have a mortgage under the hardship schemes, but quite often, as the ASIC information recently came out showed, many people go to their banks seeking hardship assistance and don't get the right answer. So just extending and pretending, just refinancing isn't necessarily the answer. Now, if you would like more information about what we do, and specifically if you'd like access to that data set, go to the Patreon. You can support us actually by the different tiers that we have here, and I thank you for those who do support us. But the specific tier, the $50 a month plus GST tier, is actually the one that you need for getting access to the information. I've got quite a few subscribers who actually take this data each month and use it for their own modelling, whether it's looking for a particular hotspot or a particular trend. If you'd like more information about what we do on the channel here, you can also check out the DFA blog, which contains a lot more data and all of our recent posts. And that gives you quite a lot of information, including how you can support us via PayPal or other mechanisms. But to close out, the bottom line is this. It's clear to me that we have a lot of households in grief at the moment, struggling with cash flow pressures, struggling with bills. And I don't think that we should rely on the government to magically wave a wand and solve it for us. We have to take ownership. We have to start thinking about how we can prioritize our spending, look at the important things versus the things we'd like to spend money on. Sometimes refinancing can help, but be careful. The banks will push it for you in a particular direction, which may not be beneficial always for individuals and households. And like I say, it's important to get your arms around the situation. Now, in a week or so's time, I will go through on the live show some more granular information. I'll show you some of the stress maps so you can see where rental stress is mapped higher. Mortgage stress is mapped higher as well, which is always quite interesting. And I'll also take specific requests to deep dive into particular postcodes. But for now, the bottom line is this. Many households are entering 2026 with bill pressure and with significant mortgage and rental stress. And frankly, it doesn't look to me as there's going to be an easy exit for many. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.